Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Before we really get started today, I have a special little interview that I want to do because right now in the world, we are kind of stuck at home. We're in limbo. Everybody's in a weird spot. So we wanted to bring on Lauren Anker, who is a psychologist, to talk to us about how to kind of deal with this isolation period, deal with loneliness, deal with a little depression. She was great. It's a fun little thing. It's not too serious, not too heavy, but I think she does really give us some good tips. Before we jump into the actual show, let's hop into that interview with Lauren. Now on Zero Block 30, we have an expert in the room. She actually has a degree that makes her lets her talk about mental health with a little bit more authority than we do, for sure. We wanted to bring on Lauren Anker, who is a practicing psychologist. She lives outside of Chicago, where she is practicing and helping people every single day. Lauren, thank you for taking time out of your day to join us.
Happy to be here.
So we wanted to bring you on the show because it is quarantine season, it's coronavirus, and everybody's going bananas. I mean, today I went on Twitter and I said, what are some of your worst habits? And the responses that I'm getting are troublesome, to say the least, Lauren. Are you experiencing that with your clients?
Some are more troublesome than others, but I imagine the internet is just a cesspool for the worst recommendation.
I think I might be a cesspool as well, just in general. But the three of us have, so Chaps is quarantined with a wife and two children. Cons is quarantined with longtime girlfriend, and I am alone with a cat. So the three of us have, we're all juggling very different things, but each one comes with its own challenges. So we're just thinking for all the veterans out there who are in any one of these situations. So me, for example, I go to sleep around 3:30 in the morning, 4 a.m.
We just basically wanted to have a free session for Kate.
We're a little concerned.
I'm a specialist in sleep, so I can talk about sleep.
Okay, great.
I have a special certification in it, so Kate, you're in good hands.
All okay, because right. I'm struggling here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
Okay.
Tell her what your day-to-day life is like.
Day-to-day. I'll start with the evening because that's when I really come alive now. I've lost all sense of time and I've never been good at what's that word in the military? Discipline. So I don't have a set schedule or anything. So around midnight, I start to perk up a little bit. I'm like, here we go. Mm-hmm. It's daytime. It's not. It's midnight. Mm-hmm. Then maybe around 2 a.m. I think I'll start a couple Sopranos episodes, you know? Maybe I'll just, then all of a sudden the sun's starting to come up out my window. I'm like, oh shit, I better go to sleep for a couple hours. And then I wake up around 10-ish and I lay in bed for a while thinking, oh my God. And then I get up, I eat about two handfuls of Hershey Kisses. Sometimes I even put them in my coffee and stir it around. Then I maybe consider showering, but then I don't. And then sometimes I'll put on a shirt, but not pants. And then I write a couple blogs and next thing you know, it's dark again. Oh no, the sun's coming up again. The cycle repeats.
Time to make an ice cream sundae.
Please, Lauren, help me. Save me.
Okay, so first of all, it sounds like you're a night owl.
Yes.
Which means naturally your circadian rhythm is fits in what we would call a delayed sleep phase.
Okay.
So naturally, based off of your internal rhythms, your biological clock, you're someone that just does better staying up later and sleeping later, which means probably waking up for those early morning wake-up calls in the military probably sucked for you.
Yeah.
Whereas someone like me that's a morning person, it's fine. So full disclosure, I'm 32 weeks pregnant right now.
Oh, wow.
And I wake up at 4 a.m. and I just don't go back to bed. But then I can't stay up past 8 p.m. So I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum. And a lot of it just has to do with your biological clock. And you're not crazy or anything like that. It just means you just do
Kate's
better
stuff. I love it.
Yeah, all right.
Better staying up later and sleeping later. I think generally speaking, when we don't have a set schedule, it's easy for the sleep to be one of the first things that starts to slip and slide. So as long as you feel comfortable when you're going to bed and when you're waking up, I wouldn't stress too much about like it being compared to like other people. Like if so it's not affecting,
social structure shouldn't matter as much. Whatever works for you and how you can get your thing done.
Yeah, and that it's consistent. So like all of the sleep, I sound so nerdy right now. The sleep research shows that as long as you're like consistent in whatever works for you, then that's the best thing you can do for yourself. So if 3 a.m. to 10 a.m. works and feels good, and you feel good during the day doing that, as long as it's not interfering with like what you have to be doing day to day, then it's fine. It's what probably perfect.
Now I have a question about Connor too, because Connor slips too. I have a question about him. He says that he doesn't get hangovers. Does that mean he has a problem?
It depends. Does he not get hangovers because the first thing he does is start drinking the next day?
Cons?
Oh, that's actually not the case. I don't have a problem.
As long as you're not getting eye openers, then I would say just enjoy it.
All right. So, recently today I put out on my Twitter account, and I'm sure that you're seeing a lot of this, is that everybody's kind of concerned with the amount of times that they're on their phones. Like I get every single Sunday, I get a screen time report from Apple, which I want to stop. And it told me this week that I averaged almost 7 hours of screen time on my phone. Is that too much?
I actually don't know what the rules are on this. I think mine was probably more than yours, which I don't know what that says about me considering I do see patients on like via telehealth right now most of the day. So I would say it's not like there's like a magic number or not, but if you're feeling like it's too much, then I would think about, is there a way that I can reduce it a little bit? Like if you're on your phone engaged in like a meditation app, that's different screen time than you're on it playing like
Twitter,
whatever the games are. Yeah. Just reading Twitter endlessly would be like less than ideal. So I would think about what you're using it for and what like feels good for you.
Another thing that we've gotten is people are showering way less. Do you think that that's going to become a thing?
Oh, will it become a thing? Probably, because showering sucks. But but generally speaking, I think they would recommend that you try to like do it every so often just to feel like a person. But like, again, it's based off of what like is normal and typical for you. Like I work out. So if I just didn't shower after I work out, that would be gross. But if you're not exercising as much or aren't as sweaty, then like showering a little less frequently probably isn't that big of a deal.
So like in a more broader sense though, from your perspective, we talked showering, sleep, but just overall, what do you think are the biggest contributors to overall good mental health during a quarantine?
That's a really good question. I would say it's about balance. I would say is the biggest thing of like combining both like some sort of structure and schedule and like as close to normalcy as you can get right now, which is not normal, but finding like a new normal that works. But also not putting too much pressure on yourself to be like the next Picasso or the next great writer, to have to create or force yourself to fit inside someone else's box. I feel like a lot of influencers out there, especially on Instagram and stuff, are like, look at me, look at all the stuff that I'm doing that's so great all the time. And that can put a lot of pressure on other people to do the same thing. And not everyone's like normal or structure is going to be the same for everyone else. So like, just be kind to yourself and nice to yourself and figure out what makes the most sense for you.
I read this one article that I thought was really striking that says that like in high school and middle school and like growing up, that you have your day balanced for you, like where you have your science aspects, your math, your art, your physical things like that, that you should as an adult try to have almost periods of your day where you're doing different things that work different side of your brain. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes a lot of sense to me. Granted, part of that, my belief in that is because I personally also fit into that. So there are a lot of creative types.
I'm not going to do math, Lauren. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not doing math.
No, me either. No, but I would say, generally speaking, having a set idea of like, generally, I'm going to have this planned for this part of this day, whatever you want that to be, is probably better than no structure at all and having no set idea or anything. Some people can work well under that, but I would say most people probably can't.
And Kanj is a fancy boy. He likes to dress up a lot. Should he still dress up?
Like, how fancy are we talking?
Oh, he's pretty fancy.
We're talking pastels. Pastel pants. A nice little sweater.
His biggest upset about the quarantine was like he wasn't going to be able to wear his spring clothes.
Yeah. Like, I got to tell you, Lauren, I'm really bummed that Easter is basically canceled because I always have a fire outfit for Easter.
He looks.
I mean, you could still dress up on Easter. Just take a lot of pictures.
Yeah.
You could. He looks like he's permanently going to the Kentucky Derby for some reason. I can't. That's the only way I can explain it. The only other question I had was on my end, and I'm thinking of a lot of other veterans out there, especially when you first get out or when you're kind of starting off on your own, you're suddenly disconnected from the group and you find yourself kind of alone. And this is probably magnifying it for a lot of people right now.
Yeah.
What do you have any advice for dealing with loneliness? Like, I'm just here with my cat and I'm like, well, thank God I have my cat. And I'm picturing like people who don't even have that. And, you know, do you have any advice there?
Yeah, I would say, like, obviously there's like informal routes to help with that. Like, just generally, where are your connections and how can you connect with them? Is it a phone call? Is it doing like a group video chat like this? I've seen a lot of people getting creative, like playing games and things like that with people they know online, or through like Zoom and stuff like that. I would also say it really just depends on the person and like, do you like, are you quantity or quality? Like, do you just need one or two like good people or good animals? Or do you need like a lot of it and just figure out where that is? There's also a lot of places out there, a lot of resources for like group therapy ideas. I know like the SAMHSA website, which is SAMHSA.gov, has like all kinds of mental health resources. Like if you want to be able to connect to someone directly or groups directly, or like if you want like a support group or things like that, there are a lot of programs depending on where you are in the country to like try to connect to people that need this help. So I would say there's like informal routes and then there's formal routes, but I would say start with like people that you already know first and foremost, and like think of new and creative ideas to connect with them if you can, even if it's just a phone call.
If you're getting to a point where you might get to need something from that website, what are some of the signs that people can diagnose, like, hey, maybe this is time for me to take a step back and like assess my mental health? Self-evaluation. Because I think so many times people are probably dealing with mental health issues and they either don't want to admit it to themselves or they don't even realize that they are. So what are some of the signs that folks might be noticing?
As Khan's asked this, I look over at my plate of Hershey Kiss wrappers.
And I thought about how we told Kate, great job this morning. Your hair looks like you showered.
Yeah. I'm so sorry.
This is the first time I've had makeup on and did my hair in 3 weeks. So I'm with you, Kate.
Okay.
It's been nice not having to get ready. I think people know themselves the best. So you know what's normal for you and what's not normal. So trust that. It's never going to hurt to start doing research. Just because you go on a website doesn't guarantee that you're going to click on the resource or call that number. So just getting information, I think, can be really, really helpful. But I would say if you are feeling any sense of like, I'm not myself, this is strange. First of all, we're in really weird times. Mm. So if you're not feeling normal, it's okay that you don't feel normal. Yeah. It'd be weird if someone was like, this is great. I'm so happy this is happening to everyone. Like, awesome. Like, I would be more concerned.
That's a sign
that.
You might need help.
Yeah, exactly. So one, like, tell yourself it's okay. But if it's getting really bad, I mean, it's so hard to know because everyone's so different. But I would say, like, think about what you look like normally as you are. And if you're getting a sense that something feels slightly out of whack, it's certainly worth starting to explore options and gather information. If you feel comfortable, and this is a big if, reach out to the people that love you and care about you and say, hey, have you noticed? Or what do you think? I feel like I've been feeling this way. Have you seen anything? Mm-hmm. I realize that not everyone is lucky enough to have like someone that they're close enough to ask that for. But sometimes the people that know, like, are around us or see us a lot are the best people to start with in terms of gathering that information for that assessment.
Now, as somebody who's done a lot of mental health, like, counseling in my life, I know that whenever I go to a new counselor, I had to go to a new psychologist, a psychiatrist, whoever, they make me fill out that initial form of depression or anxiety and kind of do it. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you can self do as well? Like, how many days a week have I felt sad and like kind of count it up and be like, oh shit, I probably should speak to somebody.
Honestly, I hope that, you know, the world of psychology doesn't get mad at me, but like you can Google the PHQ-9 depression scale. It's just literally those letters, that number. And you can pretty much find a PDF of that anywhere and take it. And it will actually, you know, you can find the scores pretty easily if you wanted to do that. For anxiety, there's the GAD-7. Same thing. You would, it's like, I know at the VA when I was there and at the job that I'm in now, we would give that to pretty much every person when they walked in. It's really simple, sliding scale, 0 to 3, whatever. And you can find all of that stuff online really
easy. And obviously you're not going to be able to find things that were deep-seated causes that happened in your childhood, but you can get a pretty good baseline.
Yeah, it's not a Freudian assessment. And honestly, most psychologists probably don't even do much of that type of like dream analysis or like early childhood analysis anyway.
Well, I think that's all really great advice. You guys have any other questions?
Just that I think my biggest takeaway here is that, because especially when you're by yourself, like, you're like, I'm getting weird in here, man. Like, oh, I don't know. But that, you're not alone. Everybody's getting a little weird right now.
Everyone's getting weird.
Everybody's doing their own thing to cope and get through it. And if maybe you're eating 15 dozen Hershey Kisses a day, that is what it is. But, you know, there's a limit to everything, but that if you are feeling like a little nutty right now, it's okay. That's my takeaway from this. I'm allowing myself to be a little nutty.
Yes. Allow yourself to do what you need to do. And like, if it's something where you're like, all right, this is out of hand, like, you know, that like edge for yourself, like, okay, maybe I eat only 14 dozen tomorrow.
Sold.
Like,
all right.
Maybe, or like,
well, Kate's painting and she's doing yoga and dancing.
Perfect. Yeah. Whatever you need, like, whatever you need. But yeah, I would say just don't be too hard on yourself, because this is, it's really, really strange and really, really weird. And if you're having a reaction to that, we like that our body is built to respond to strange things in this way. Like, I'm sure you guys are aware of like the stress, the fight or flight response, right? Mm-hmm. And we're all having a little bit of that kind of combined response right now, because we're all in like self-protection mode.
And we're not even 32 weeks pregnant.
Yeah, I know.
I can't imagine what you're going through. It's got to be, usually you're like, whoo, going to get that baby out by summer. And you're like, no, stay in here. My belly's like a mask for you.
Yeah.
And so if you are listening and you're out there being too hard on yourself, we're knife handing you. If you don't cut it out, you might get fire watch. So don't be hard on yourself.
Might come at you too. I would love it if Lauren, if she wanted to come back and be the official psychologist of ZBT, we would love to have you back whenever we're dealing with some shit.
Happy to. I would love it.
All right, Lauren, thank you so much for joining us, and good luck with your baby.
Yes.
Hey, thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
It's a Tuesday edition here on Zero Block 30, and today we have, wait for it, folks, we have 7 rounds in the magazine. Round number 1, former presidential candidate Andrew Yang talked to a friend who was a soldier, and we all had to read the dumbest tweet that I've ever seen as a result. Hey, Andrew. Just as a spoiler alert, you got Firewatch, bitch. Round number 2, huge shout out to our friends down under. They might be providing an escape for the entire world right now by utilizing a private island just for sports. Our beloved, beloved sports might be coming back soon thanks to Aussie Rules Football. Round number 3, motivator, won't you come on out? We want to hear Corporal Greg Fisher, who we post every single Monday, scream and shout. People went bananas whenever we said that on Instagram and Twitter that we are going to have Greg on. You're going to want to hear from him. Round number 4, as many of you know, toilet paper can be hard to get your hands on. So can eggs, milk, and Lysol. One industry is booming during quarantine season, and you guessed it, it's baby chick time. Round number 5, the career fair continues as we take you through the life of a chaplain. Round number 6, the leader of ISIS in Afghanistan was arrested with 19 other militants. We aren't going to spend much time on it. I just really want to tell you how fucking ugly this is. Buzz, your girlfriend. Woof. And round number 7, I finally got around to watching Captain America from 2011, and I have some thoughts about this American hero. A little health and welfare check on the squad. We'll start with you, Captain Cons. How was your weekend?
It was good. You know, it's becoming increasingly more challenging to find ways to pass the time. And last night, a group of my girlfriend's friends had put together a virtual Chopped competition.
Oh, that's good. That's a good idea.
Yeah, we had 10 chefs that all presented their dishes, and I served as one of the judges, and it was actually a lot of fun.
And I saw that you actually gave the win to your girlfriend, which is a smart person move.
One, that's a smart move. Two, she legitimately, like, the other two judges had her with the second most points. So it wasn't like I was just favoring her.
It doesn't matter. You live with her in quarantine season. You got to fucking give her the win automatically 10 times because you're the one eating it.
Exactly. Exactly. It was a good dish. But it was certainly fun and something that honestly we would not have done otherwise if not put in this scenario. So it was just a new and interesting way to pass the time. And
I want to hear from other people too, like the listeners, like reach out and tell us what kind of games and shit you're playing on Zoom. I saw Kate, you had a cousin's night, right?
Yeah. This is the second or third weekend in a row now where have I told you guys yet that my dad's one of 13 kids? Have I mentioned that?
You've mentioned it.
Only about 1,000 times. But yeah, so I have like a zillion cousins. And now my aunts and uncles, all the like 13 and then their husbands and wives, they tried to do one. And I heard it was an absolute gaggle fuck. Like, just picture like.
The olds on there, no disrespect to Joe. I know he's a listener too. But the olds, whenever they try to get on Zoom, they don't know how to do it. And whenever you're dealing with people who don't like telecommunicate all the time, it's tough. They don't know to mute themselves whenever they're not actively talking. There's babies going on in the background. There's dogs and shit going on in the background. They just can't do it. So I saw you had a good time. Other than that, how was your weekend, Catherine?
It was pretty good. Was it Friday, Saturday, Sunday? I don't know. But all the
doesn't matter.
All the women.
All the days are the same. Every day is Tuesday.
It's Groundhog's Day. But all the women at the office did one of those TikTok videos where you look like a dumpster fire and then you rub your little makeup brush on the thing when you pull it away. You're like covered in makeup and stuff. And since all of us had all the time in the world, I spent a long ass time. It looks like, anyways, I just covered my face in makeup. I had that no makeup rule for whatever. Mm-hmm. And I discovered fake eyebrows. And let me tell you, I'm not wearing any makeup on my face today except fake eyebrows. I feel so expressive. I know the listeners can't see it, but just picture a very expressive woman with great eyebrows. Anyways, I did go all out though. This is TMI. I put on a push-up bra because I was like, this is my chance to get some new followers with the old tits popping. And I put on a push-up bra. I put this low-cut tank top on. I put two Hanes socks underneath my tits inside the thing. To push him up.
What?
Yeah.
Whoa.
And even still, you could barely see him. It's like it's like almost cleavage, but not quite. I got those Cameron Diaz titties that are like way far apart, I guess. I don't know. Wow. Happy Monday.
Welcome to our military podcast, folks. If you're a first-time listener, we're glad to have you here. My weekend was pretty good. I spent a lot of it on Twitter and just hanging out, getting into some new Marvel movies, trying to watch essentially everything that's on Disney Plus is where I'm at. And I'm back in on kids and family video games. We've been doing Minecraft.
I thought you were just going to say, I'm back in on kids and family again. Yay!
Oh, no. I've been in on that for a while. But it's been brutal, dude. Like, because everybody here has big time attitudes. Annalise has a big personality. I have a big personality. So do Kelsey and McCartney. So getting along with four people that are just sick of each other at this point, you gotta do something different. Taking Gussie Boy on long walks and shit like that. But one thing that I will be happy about, that I am happy about, is that even though it's a terrible situation, the USS Roosevelt situation has been like the Kardashians for me. Anytime I tweet new tweet or information, and I actually have a couple of sources that are like on the ship. People are there recording what the Secretary of the Navy has to say. We're going to get into that for round number one because it is a little bit of coronavirus season. And we have a tweet that came out from Andrew Yang. I want to start there because coronavirus is a big deal, obviously. I mean, the numbers are staggering at this point. I think we're up to 320,000 people confirmed cases inside. Maybe that's the world, but either way, it's a lot. And you saw, Kate, some of your Instagram stories from this weekend were chilling whenever you walked by a hospital and saw one of the actual refrigerator trucks for the morgue.
Yeah, I walked by Mount Sinai. It's just a couple blocks from my apartment, and I walked by it, and there was medical staff standing outside the freezer truck, and they built a ramp for it now because they're putting so many people in it that they were hoisting them up before. And because when I went by last week, there's no ramp. Now there's like a whole ramp and stuff built for it. And it's just, I don't know. I teared up, man. I'm just picturing what all the hospital workers are going through right now and all the families and stuff dealing with it. So, it's crazy.
One of the harder parts with the families, too, is you can't properly say goodbye because you can't have a funeral or any sort of memorial service
it's crazy.
For these people, which is very upsetting because obviously that's, one way that, that people are able to get their closure, and they just aren't able to do that.
Well, you know what would really help is if the military stepped up and said, hey, we volunteer to all get it. I wish that that would be a thing.
Well, Andrew Yang, who was running for president, he had a big following on Twitter and social media, made a big impact on the race just because he was one of the first ones to say that everybody should have a universal basic income, where his essential philosophy was that every American should have $1,000 in their pocket no matter what every single month. Well, he sent out a tweet on the 5th, which is last night at 8 o'clock, and he said, an Army vet friend suggested that soldiers and vet be allowed to voluntarily get coronavirus in order to maintain readiness, provide an immune workforce, and research antibodies. These guys and gals are hardcore American flag emoji. It's those type of things that I'm like, dude, we're people. We don't want to fucking go get coronavirus. Like, we're already volunteered or have volunteered to go fight in a war that's lasted forever. Don't make us, because then now, like, if they did allow it, oh, you going to get the coronavirus? Fuck no. Fuck you. I'm not doing that voluntarily.
Also, I was just checking out some of the replies, and one of them was an MD who was like, Andrew, you know, this is very nice that you have friends, but this is a very dangerous idea. Please do not spread this.
Also, I love that he assumes that his one friend is the entire military. Like, if this one friend of mine, this one clearly wacky-ass, goofball-ass, crazy head ass friend is he's like, yeah, these guys and gals are hardcore. If he suggested it or she suggested it, they no, all
I
must am, feel that
I do
way.
Want to cut Andrew some slack because he is a smart fella and he has a lot of good ideas. Not all of them are great, but he has some good ideas. It was 8 o'clock. It's coronavirus season. He's been at home on a Sunday.
True.
Maybe he's a couple cabs deep and he's firing off some tweets that he's going to regret. There but for the grace of God go I. I've had that happen to me so many times where you have just one too many glasses and you say some things that you regret. Maybe that's where old Andrew is with the whole situation right now.
I'm going to put my tinfoil hat on. I think it's also possible that this was his idea, but he just said an Army vet friend to have plausible deniability.
A friend of mine's really horny.
My Army friend said that since we all have to stay in our homes, that all the military should come out and do our lawns and stuff. Yeah. These guys and gals are awesome.
That's really nice.
Don't yell at me. It was my Army vet friend. He's the one who said it. I didn't say it.
So that's the coronavirus news on the forefront from some political people. But we also have news from across the globe of what's going on, including the USS Roosevelt, which we talked extensively about on Friday's episode. And one of the things that I wanted to get into here is because since we recorded on Friday or Thursday, we've also found out that Captain Crozier came down and tested positive with coronavirus, which added a whole new layer to the story because it wasn't something that was, you could say maybe he exaggerated, maybe he thought the threat. If the captain of the ship is getting it, then everybody in the crew, there is a likelihood that they were going to get it too. Because the captain has pretty good quarters. They call it captain's quarters for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, just that from everything we've read about it, the thing spreads very quickly. And when you're in those confined spaces, I have to imagine that's like coronavirus on steroids.
And also,
go ahead, Kate.
You know, last week we talked about the video where Captain Crozier's walking off the ship and all the sailors are on the deck from every rank cheering him on. And it has only exploded since then. That video has, we said, like over 20 million or something views at this point, and all like public sentiment, overwhelmingly, there are people saying no, but are on this guy's side. And now that he came down with it, it's like even another strike against. So I'm thinking,
oh yeah, that's big time.
If you're Navy PR, now what are you doing? And apparently, well, their course of action wasn't what mine would have been.
It's not what you would expect, which I don't care really. Like, I don't care if the military branches operate in the realm of public approval. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not something that I care about on a large scale. There's a lot of things that we have to do that the public just doesn't approve of. And I think that that's okay. Like, the way that you do operations, the way that you train, the way that you go after things, you have a mission to accomplish, so you go accomplish that mission. But Captain Crozier being on the ship with coronavirus, testing positive, and we also found out after the episode aired that there wasn't just the captain that was on the ship, the 06, there was also a rear admiral lower half on the ship as well whenever this was going down. So you know that Captain Crozier, if he's smart at all, if he's an intelligent person, which I assume that he is, he was in concert he was in communication and probably got some mentorship from the 07 that was aboard the ship as well. Well, recently, this morning, last night, the Secretary of the Navy, the acting Secretary of the Navy, flew out to Guam and got on the USS Roosevelt and
picked their spirits back up, right?
Give them a little bit of a pep talk. That's what you would think.
Yeah.
Because whenever you're a ship like this, you're not used to being in the forefront of the news. Individual battalions, individual brigades, individual units aren't used to being out in the forefront. The USS Roosevelt has made worldwide news. If you go to Google right now and type in USS Roosevelt, there is hundreds of articles that have been written. I mean, I don't usually do double dipping in articles. I've written five myself about what's going on here. That's how big of a story this is.
You know, it's a big deal if the public gives a fuck about it, because it's very rare.
Readers in general, not just our like DBT readers, but if the actual readers of Barstool care, this is a young audience who is doing things at home. Two of the top stories on Barstool Saturday were both of them were Captain Crozier and USS Roosevelt related. That shows how big the story is to me. So the acting Secretary of the Navy flies out and delivers this scathing. I mean, it's scathing. We had somebody that was there. They recorded it and went back and transcribed what was actually said. And some of the things that were said, and it kind of shocked me. Because usually when a Secretary of the Navy, Cons has talked about this before, when we've had different chiefs that will address an entire ship, one, you don't curse, right? Like at that level of government, in that involvement, that level of officer, especially whenever you're dealing, that is the, if I remember my boot camp knowledge correctly, the Secretary of the Navy would be the seventh person in the chain of command. Like whenever you're talking about platoon level, company, then battalion, brigade, base, the Secretary of the Navy, there's only one step between him and the President of the United States, and that is the Secretary of Defense. So it's actually the eighth level of the chain of command. So Cons, if you are going to give this type of speech, what type of speech do you think it should be?
Well, one, you should have maintain the decorum and know your audience, and they all look to you to be the most professional. You're supposed to be setting the example. It should be, one, as I said, very professional, but two, after this type of situation, I couldn't believe it didn't have more of a positive tone.
Right.
It just seemed like it was very obtuse, and it was very much like he wanted to tell you all why this captain was not smart and why he would never do this to you, but it was the captain who did it to you, and just went on and said, I don't want to make this about myself, but then kept talking about himself. It was just odd to me.
It was very odd. Kate, what were your thoughts when you first read it, the letter?
For him, if it was me, I would have maybe at least opened up with an icebreaker or something. Like, how about that ride in? Looks like we're all a carrier.
Drop in a couple duty
of
balls.
The virus. Yeah, I think I'd drop a couple duty balls. I think I'd crack a couple jokes. I'd get them on my side. You know what I mean? I'd say, while I'm talking, why don't you light up a cigarette out here? You know, everybody chill out. Smoking lamp is lit. Maybe I'd pass around a couple tiny bottles of booze. I don't know, but he didn't do that. That's egregious.
So I'm not going to get – I don't think we should get into the full weeds because it's 4 pages long of pretty small script. Ugh. But I'll give you the first couple paragraphs so you can kind of get the idea if you haven't read about it or if you haven't heard it. Here's what he said. When I first heard you had the coronavirus cases on here, speaking of the ship, I was actually planning on being here last Tuesday after I went to see Mercy off in Los Angeles. So I want you to know that no one on my level has been ignoring the situation here from the very beginning, taking responsibility, saying I wasn't, that I was there for you, basically, is what he's saying there. I reached out to your CO through my chief of staff very, very early on in this crisis. On Sunday, I told him that I wanted to come out to the ship and if it would be okay or if it would be too disruptive. I told him because I want him to be on the ship to help if there's anything else he needed as this massive effort was underway to get you guys healthy and clean and safe. He waved me off. He said that he felt things were under control and he had been concerned a day or so before that things weren't moving quickly, but things he still wanted to get more beds. He didn't think it was necessary. He also talked to my chief of staff and emailed him back and forth. On Sunday night, he sent that email, and that email went out to a broad audience of people. I know that I mentioned this was over 20. We believe that it was forwarded to far more than even that, and immediately it was picked up by the San Francisco Chronicle, which published sensitive information about the material condition of the naval warship. If he didn't think, in my opinion, that this information was going to get out to the public in this day and age, an information age that we currently live in, then he was either A, too stupid or too naive to be a commanding officer of a ship like this. The alternative is that he did this on purpose, and that's a serious violation of the UCMJ, which we are all familiar with. That message and all the contents of that message was perfectly fine to him to send to people in his chain of command in a confidential way so that they can get acting on it. He, in fact, could have given it to me, either my chief of staff or to me, as I asked him to do so when I reached out to him when the ship we first found out that there was coronavirus cases on here. His betrayal and trust with me, with this chain of command, with you, and the 800 to 1,000 people who are your shipmates who are on shore right now, busting their asses every day to do what they need to do to convert what they do to a normal day to get you guys off of here, to get you safe and to get you healthy, to get you clean and to get you back on this ship where you're supposed to be. I understand the messaging that he was trying to do. In my opinion, it's the same thing that I would tell a Lance Corporal or a Corporal. This is good initiative, bad judgment. Your idea of going to the USS Roosevelt, to me, is perfectly on par. I think that he should have done that. I think that he should have done it right away, which he did. Obviously, Guam isn't a short flight. You have to fucking schedule that and everything. But I think that his messaging of going out there was perfect. You have to go see the people that are on the ship whenever you're involved in international news like that. You have got to build them up, because this is a group that not only has been beat down because their commanding officer, who they loved, was fired, they're also, their reaction to the firing has come under fire. Like, they have been told that they dishonored like their roles and what they did. You cannot do that. You have to say, we still appreciate your service. Your service is vital to the country, vital to the Navy. You're doing everything honorably out here. You can't beat them down like this right now. You have to know better as a leader.
No, you're absolutely right. And I mean, I think it's important to remember there's three sides to every story. There's Captain Crozier's tales. There's the Secretary of the Navy's view. And then somewhere in the middle is probably the truth. But for him to go in and just start attacking Crozier like that, these young sailors and all these other officers, they don't need to have that information. They don't need to hear you beat down someone that they respect, because by you
calling a captain stupid, come on, man.
Right, exactly. But for you to go and do that, then that's just going to like make every single person on that ship resent you. So everything you say from that point forward, they're going to just wave you off, as you said, just like you said, the captain waved you off. I don't believe that he just waved him off. He probably politely said, here's what I think the course of action should be, sir, and took it into consideration. But for him to go out there and just start attacking the gentleman when after he's been relieved, I just didn't think that was very professional. What do you think?
Old devil's advocate Katie running around over her. So if it is true that the Secretary of the Navy himself had reached out and was waved off by Crozier, and possibly at this point, maybe
they're going to have to release those emails on Freedom of Information Act. They're going to have to.
And if it comes out that this is true, then Crozier is...
Oh, it's a dirty move on his part if it's true.
Then
for sure.
Crozier is stupid. Like,
yeah,
then he's right.
I agree.
So if he's not wrong here and he's right, and maybe this is the Secretary of the Navy trying to snap this shit back to reality and saying, yeah, your captain was your only leader on this ship, but guess what? He's not your only leader. There's
but
other
you gotta
shit
bring
going
those
on.
Receipts, right? Like, if that's what you're saying and that's your first opening to the sailors on this ship, to me, I would do an all con. As the Secretary of the Navy has the ability to do an all con to the entire U.S. Navy, because this is something that's going to affect them leadership-wise across the board whenever you're dealing with a commanding officer of the ship, you've got to say, look, this was a mistake on his part. Here's the fucking receipts. This is what happened. We're going to be forthright. We're going to be honest, and we're going to be completely transparent here. Also, I think that it's a tough situation to be when you are the acting Secretary of the Navy because you're not confirmed in a position. Whenever you're the acting anything, you're the interim anything, you don't carry that same level of respect as anybody else. That's a huge issue going on with the DOD, the State Department. So many acting positions. We got to get people confirmed to get people that can stay longer than fucking 3 weeks.
That's...
The last Secretary of the Navy was relieved after he disagreed with the president for how he handled the Eddie Gallagher case. Now this, their only aspect about this that the acting Secretary of the Navy that I really agree with, Task and Purpose came out with an article today talking about how the acting Secretary of the Navy said, I didn't want this to come to a position where President Trump had to get involved. I actually think that's great leadership whenever you're in that position. Mm-hmm. You keep things off of your supervisor's desk the best you can. If you can handle it at your level, handle it at your level, but you better handle it well, and this was not handled well.
No, not at all. And even then, like, if you didn't open up with a joke, maybe when the helicopter lands on the ship, have a few bushels of lobster in there. Like, you know, don't come empty-handed and yell at everybody.
Yeah.
Have some snacks.
Or just, like, figure out a way to do it a little bit under the table. Like, you can have relief of somebody in command where you don't do it where it's where it looks like this. You could just say, okay, now, I mean, if you would have waited and said he had coronavirus, you could have easily switched command. We said, we're going to let you focus on your health. We can do all these things. You wait a little while and make these decisions so you don't have this PR backlash.
Right.
It's mind-blowing.
Sneakily and quietly. One other idea. Undercover boss. You know the show?
Okay.
Esper dresses up like a young ensign. He's an E1, E2. Shave his face, dye his hair. Have him put a mop in his hand. He's in the scuttlebutt area, where everybody comes to do the scuttlebutt chat. And he's like, did you hear that actually the Secretary of the Navy is a cool guy who reached out to Crozier? And I heard Crozier did. You know, he could become an E2 and plant the seed of doubt in the sailors' heads. That would be my other suggestion.
Yeah, my other suggestion to the listener would be to go to Honey and download Honey so that they could save money, because everybody needs to save a little bit of money right now, and Honey is the best way to do that. We're all shopping online a lot. We're just bored. We're going in there and shopping and doing our thing. Honey is free online shopping tool that saves you money, and it automatically finds the best promo code. I actually use it this weekend. And normally, like, the ad reads, just in full transparency, will say, personal opinion of the host here, or personal experience, but I was going to do that anyway. I didn't actually say that here. So I was going online to find, I wanted to buy the new Nintendo Switch, or not new Nintendo Switch, but people have been telling me about this game called Animal Crossing, where it's essentially like The Sims, but you can go fishing and go on safari and you can farm and do all kinds of stuff. It basically looks like a world that I would want to get lost in, but the games are really expensive. I went to walmart.com. The Honey thing came up because I downloaded it last week after I talked about it, and it saved me $9 on it, and it's a brand new game. I saved $9 on it. So it actually works, and it works well. I didn't have to do anything and just click the little button, and it was right there. Honey has over 18 million members with over $2 billion in saving. If you're not using Honey, I will just say it, you're an idiot. Everybody needs a smackerel of Honey in their life. That's why you got to join honey.com/dbt. Make sure, if you're going to Honey because you just heard my fantastic ad read about it, that you actually go to honey.com/dbt so we get credit. Everybody's industry is struggling, including ours. Make sure that you're helping us out, because we're trying to help you out by not being bored for at least an hour or so. So make sure that you help us out, please. Guys, don't make me fucking beg, please.
We'll send Esper over there if you don't.
Don't send Esper. Oh. And I also want to say, for the record, I wasn't going to say anything, but I can't let it go past Kate. We have another Kate Stolenvauer moment where she mispronounced the O1 level of the Navy rank. What do you think it's called?
My promise to the listener is that I'll never learn the Navy ranks. I maybe mentioned it last week. I do not like that their captain is the top. Get the fuck out of here.
For 06, not the top, but the yeah. 01 is actually pronounced ensign, is what it would be called.
Ensign.
And Cons, I wanted to have a surprise impromptu quiz. Hands up, Cons. Let's see. Because Kate, we busted down on Kate a little bit because of her confusing Captain 06 with Captain 03.
Always will.
Cons, I would like you to walk through with your hands, and we'll post this on social media. From E1 to E9 in the Navy, go.
No shot. I have no idea. I don't even know where to start. I swear to God. I know there's some chief petty officers in there. There's some chiefs. There's this. There's that. I don't know. I don't know the Navy rank structure.
Kate, you want to give it a go? You had to learn it at boot camp.
The Navy rank structure. The old Navaroonie.
Don't stop it. Hands up, Kate. I can see by your eyes and how you're going.
Yeah.
You're trying to cheat.
You're doing the old...
You're doing the Katie filibuster.
I'm not going to lie to you. I don't think I know a single fucking Navy rank. Admiral. Wait. There's admirals. Okay. Admirals.
Yep.
I don't know where they fall.
Okay.
I don't know if they have captains. I know they have captains. I don't know if they have lieutenants.
So it starts off seaman recruit, seaman basic, seaman, and that's your E1 through 3. And then you go up to your petty officers, which you have third class, which is a E4, second class, first class is the E6. And then you have chief. Our senior chief, master chief is how it goes.
I just remember on Camp Pendleton, I'd be like, fuck, is this an officer? Is this an enlisted coming my way?
Yeah, because once they get to 7, Once they get to Chief, it's shiny. And sometimes if they're wearing like their black or their peanut butter uniforms, they could also have, even like an E2 could have a shiny uniform. And I'd be like, what the fuck is this? Navy ranks, they got to clean that up.
Yeah, I always have it. I avoided it. I would jump in a bush to not have to deal with whether.
Classic Marine. That takes back your stolen valor. Most Marines avoid Navy folks.
For sure.
Period. Because you're not supposed to, you don't know if you're supposed to salute them or not.
Exactly.
That's just the way it goes. All right, let's move on to round number two now that that quiz is completed.
Before we move into round two, I'm just going to abruptly jump in here because something just came across the wire, and I think we should address it. Viva La Stool posted Barstool quarantine houses, and they put everybody in a different house. And I want to get your reaction of the house that you will be in. Currently in house 5, Kirk Minahan, Kate, Jeff D. Lowe, Blackjack, Caleb, Eddie. House number – where are you, chaps? House number, I just saw you. Oh, house number 9. Donnie, Willie, Grinnell, Chaps, $20 Chef, Nick Tirani. And then house number 10, PFT, Robbie Fox, Carl, KB, myself, YP.
I don't want to be in my own fucking house. Fuck that.
Yeah.
Get me out of my own house. Bunch of weirdos in there with me. Me and Willie, I guess, would hang out. Me, Willie, and Donnie. I don't want to be mean. I like Grinnell. Yeah, fuck. Whatever. I'll hang out with whoever, buddy. As long as they're not a member of my own family, as long as they don't have the name Cawthorn, I'd be happy to hang out with anybody at this point.
Any thoughts?
As long as Eddie brings the Chicago beef, so I'm cool with my house.
Dude, being with Eddie, you're good.
Right. He's like the happiest guy in town. Yeah, I'm cool with it.
You got a good house, though, Cons.
Yeah, my house is real strong.
All right, let's move on to round number two. Round number two comes to us from the land down under. Anybody want to give that a go?
Okay.
Crikey.
I was talking about this song, but.
Oh, I come from the land down under.
All right, that was good. That's all. All right, Kate, walk us through what happened in Australia.
Quick notes. Almost swear to God. On Friday night, had a couple glasses of shard, and I almost bought a didgeridoo on Amazon.
What is a didgeridoo?
It's that. It's that Australian instrument.
I know what you're talking about.
Like the Zuzuzuela?
You know, it's like.
Was it the World Cup in South Africa that had the Zuzuzuela or Brazil? Right? Isn't that what it's called? Where it's like, just like. For the whole time, and people were going nuts.
You're
about
thinking
it?
Of the Ricola. Ricola. You're thinking of the Ricola horns. Ricola. Right.
That's one of the best ads, like, to stick in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
If I walk through Walgreens now and I see a Ricola, I'm like, I could go for a Ricola.
Absolutely.
That and Klondike Bar. Great jingle.
What would you do woo-woo for a Klondike Bar?
Horrible, horrible, dirty things.
All right, let's walk through the story.
Anyways, so I almost bought a didgeridoo online. That's the important thing. And then I did buy a 30-inch blow dart. But that's another story. But also, I feel like that could also be a very Australia thing. Anyways, I'm going to buy balloons, put them around my apartment, and shoot things with the blow dart.
All right, let's
get going. Okay, Australia. Where were we? Okay, so rugby. I played a little bit of the rugby myself for many years in college, and then in a summer league in the Philly area. I played sevens. I played for a long time. I love it. It's a good time. It's one of the only sports that gets my heart, like, fucking pumping when I watch it. If you've never watched a rugby match, go on YouTube and pull up, like, rugby hardest hits, and your b-hole will just, your spokes will just. Anyways, so there's a wild proposal in Australia to revive one of the country's most popular sports by quarantining about 500 rugby league players and training staff on a luxury resort island, and then ferrying them back to the mainland to play televised matches in empty stadiums. The new initiative, just one of those being considered by the National Rugby League there, would house teams at Tangalooma Island Resort. It's a luxury resort that can fit 1,500 guests, and it's completely empty pretty much right now because tourism has collapsed with all this going on. So they're saying that once players and coaches get tested for the virus, if they prove clear that they either already have it or don't have it, and they're fine now, you get to go to this island and start training for this league. So
they got to call the island. If this happens, they have to call it the meat locker.
Yeah.
All those rugby dudes, those rugby guys, straight up smack. I would spread them on a cracker.
Let me tell you, I'm a huge thighs lady. Give me a guy with two big old redwoods. stemming down from
his short shorts.
And I'll climb you like a koala. Let me eat that leaf. So I feel like, yeah, it's the best sport for legs, hands down. I'm just thinking about it right now. Anyways. Yep,
okay, let's move on. So the coronavirus has shut down most of the sports leagues worldwide. The Olympics, the NBA, the Premier League, all of those are gone. Australia is trying to get it back. They're going to do 16 teams in New South Wales and Queensland, which, lest we forget, Queensland is the home of our favorite politician in Australia, even though he's kind of problematic, Bob Catter.
Yes, Bob Catter.
Longtime stoolie Bob Catter, because he once said that everyone's entitled to their own proclivities. May a thousand blossoms bloom, as far as I'm concerned. But lest we forget in this, whenever they go down there, that every 90 days, a person is torn to pieces by a crocodile in North Queensland. So we don't want that to happen. But the rugby people saying that there are thousands of people whose paycheck relies on this rugby league, and the faster that we can get things going, the faster the economy moves and things like that. And plus, it really is an opportunity with not really any sports happening worldwide, that if you want to get your sport to be noticed across the world, like Australian Football League, and take off, this is the time to do it. Like, whenever you're having dart leagues or anything that's online,
marble,
any type of
marble, Marbula One Racing is
people
getting millions of views right now.
I mean, I think Marty Mush had 140,000 people watch him trying to throw a pin into a Coke bottle. Anything athletic, something like that, people would be tuned in right now. I mean, they're having record numbers of people watch NASCAR drivers race video game cars. Like, it's happening all over the place. Throwing in an actual sports league with quarantine folks, it would be like a little reality show. It would be awesome. I'm all for that. I think it would be great.
Yeah, well, yes, I also love the person who proposed it was not the rugby league. It was the owner of the resort, David James, who was like, oh, I've got no idea. Why don't you all pay a ton of money and stay on me resort?
Hey, if anybody wants to say rugby, come on down.
Yeah, so I feel like very smart move on his part. But I love the idea that they're actually entertaining it. And I, in my head at this point, nothing seems crazy to me anymore. I'm like, I don't hate it.
Because for me, basketball doesn't become much wash basketball until June. Until the playoffs come around, I don't really care about the NBA, but I'll watch the NBA. The NBA has floated ideas of, like, all these guys have unbelievable houses with huge basketball courts and shit like that that they all play in, where they were going to float an idea of having a horse league that was going to take place on ESPN, where Carmelo Anthony is at his place and Dwayne Wade's at his, and they're playing horse just in different locations. I will 1,000% watch that. Something like that where it's individual competition, because you know they're going to be mic'd up talking shit and things like that. Mm-hmm. I would be all in on that. That should be a regular thing.
I think that is a great idea. Anything that anyone can do from their home, I support. But let me just go the other way on this and ask you guys, do you think this is in any way insensitive to what is going on in the rest of the world and what everyone is dealing with, that people are trying to just focus on sports? Believe me, like, I want sports back just as much as anybody do.
Anyone does? Not as much as Kate, I guarantee you that.
For sure. I'm dying over here, pal.
And obviously there are a lot of jobs that are, affiliated with professional sports leagues. But I just wonder if trying to figure out this solution is where people's energy should be focused
on. Well, I'm getting tired of the whole, like, I feel like anytime somebody posts something happy and non-coronavirus related now online, all these, like, wet blankets are like, real tone deaf right now. There's a, I don't know if you noticed, there's a virus. So I feel like you can have both. And I feel like also, even for those working the crazy medical jobs right now, you want to fucking release at the end of the day, man. You want to turn your brain off and ignore shit like that. I was talking about a post from this one guy who was like, the NBA and there's sports that are still doing trades and deals. Like Tom Brady went to the Tampa Bay, whatever, dear, big sports.
The Tampa Bay Pirate
right.
guys.
Yes, they went there over to the old Chipperoon. But that happened during all this. And people were like, "How? Why
are you mad about Tom Brady being a free agent?"
This guy, this other veteran online, I got into him with it because he was like, "We got 22 veterans a day taking their lives. And this is what you guys want to worry about, coronavirus and sports or whatever." And I was like, dude, there can be multiple things going on in the world that people care about at the same time. Shut up.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's just...
I agree that the positive stuff is okay. I don't think we need to just poo-poo anything that's positive or people trying to...
Yeah, wow. Sheesh. Wow.
Or people trying to think about other things. I totally support that.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that if you had something like that, it's not going to be the fellow that has the 1,500 person resort in Queensland that's going to come up with a cure for coronavirus anyway.
Yeah.
Like, he's probably not going to be that dude. Who might be that dude is the person that we're going to have on in round three, which everybody's super excited about. So we're going to have our motivator come on out. Greg Fisher, come on out and give us that scream and shout.
Hoorah, fellow Devil Dogs. It is a super motivating Monday, and we are here in North Carolina, where it is raining, and we are embracing the suck. Aren't we just embracing the suck? Aye, sir, good morning, gentlemen. That is, if you need some motivation today, you go find your fellow Marine, and he will motivate you. Have a good day.
All right, now, so we originally made the announcement on April 1st, so everybody thought it was a big-time April Fool's joke. It's not. We have the person that we post, the Marine that we post every single Monday on ZBT. We have Corporal Greg Fisher is joining the show from Dallas, Texas. What's going on, Greg?
Absolutely. Having a great day. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
So I'm excited to talk to you because, first of all, I want to tell you how I found your video. Whenever we first started ZBT, I would search hashtags for like content to post and give credit to and things like that. I'd search the hashtag. I believe it was boot life is how I found yours. And I assumed that was at MCT, right? Was that video taken from MCT?
No, it was actually my schoolhouse in Camp Johnson, Jacksonville, North Carolina.
Okay. And what do you do in the Marine Corps?
I'm grudgingly admin. Okay, so admin it was my guy. First, but that's what I ended up signing for. Yep.
Nice. You enjoy it?
At this point, I do. A completely different outlook. I see it as helping people. So if someone's got a $50 pay question, I can help alleviate some of that stress. Like, I look at it that way.
And the gunnies and shit have to be nice to you whenever they come in because they know that you can affect their pay. You can affect what gets processed. You can't be a dick to the admin people at all. You're at Fort Worth now. You're on active reserve duty. And are you enjoying that?
Living the dream every day. Wouldn't have it any other way.
So you have this video pop up, and I think it is the perfect embodiment of what junior Marines are. And I say with Kate, my co-host all the time, that if that was me, if I had the ability to have Instagram or maybe even Facebook whenever I first joined the Marine Corps, I would have had a shit ton of videos like that as well. It's just a beautiful moment as a boot, but you're a corporal now. Do you look back and cringe, or do you look back and see like I've grown?
So I definitely look at it that I've grown, but at the same time, whenever I'm tagged or whenever I actually watch myself, I cringe all over, just like, ugh, that was such a different time.
Do any of your Marines or any of your leadership like give you shit about it?
Every duty station I've been at, I definitely have even the leadership. So actually fairly recently, the staff sergeant that I have in Fort Worth, he came right up to me and he was like looking at his phone, looking at me, looking at his phone. And I knew what it was. And he's like, hold on a second. And he takes a picture of me. And then he goes, I got to send it to one of my friends because he recognized you. And I let him know that I work with you. I'm like, yeah. Oh boy.
Having your biggest boot moment be out there. Do you regret it though? Do you regret putting that thing out there? Or is it just like, it is what it is? Because you get shit talk people. Some people either love it, it makes their Monday morning when we post it on social media, or some people are like, damn it, that just ruined my whole fucking day.
Well, so I think the very first time that I ever saw or got tagged in it was on JTOTS. And yeah, they were going really, really aggressive on it. And I actually really regret it at that point. But then I saw you guys started tagging me, and then other people started tagging me, and that's when I was seeing the people who did enjoy, and they're like, oh my God, this is amazing. And at this point, it is a happy memory for me, and it's actually a great like conversation starter with a lot of people.
And I like the – it brings up a perfect phrase, because I think one of the Buddhist phrases that you could possibly have is anything that's like, good morning, sir, good morning, gentlemen, good morning, ma'am, good morning, gentlemen, anything like that, any of those little reminders – it shows off what being a junior Marine, a very junior Marine, is like. And if you're at the schoolhouse at Camp Johnson, that's as junior as it gets. So it's a little refresher, right? Like, it's like, man, I've grown up. Now I'm an NCO. But at one point, I was still boot as hell.
Absolutely. Absolutely how it is.
Do you have any more stashed up? Because I think I need to go back and see. Is there any other ones that you think you have floating out there?
Not like that one. That one definitely takes a kick. It is by itself. It's more because it was in the moment kind of video. So I have a story real quick for how it came about. Actually, was that we originally, as a PA school, we won a competition across Camp Johnson, and our CO granted us, we weren't going to come in on Monday for school, so we're going to have a 72. You're welcome. Well, then on Sunday night, someone must have said something, or someone must have acted up, because they had a random wellness and health inspection to which 60% of the school, all underage, had alcohol. And he said, all right, I'm taking your comp day back. You're coming back in to work on Monday. So that video was Monday morning. We're sitting outside. It's raining, and we're already all mad because we lost our comp day. And I saw
so everybody's out there pissing vinegar, and you're trying to have a good attitude about it, like in going out when it's raining, everybody's in their ponchos, and you're trying to – are you trying to, like, legit say, hey, it's not that bad. We're just out here at Camp Johnson?
Yeah, so my roommate was actually doing exactly that, because at first I was just same way, just kind of like trudging along, all angry at everything. And I saw him running around, like doing the same thing, and it was contagious, like that kind of motivation, just like, all right, yeah, it could definitely be worse. This really isn't that bad. So, and that's when I turned.
I mean, you're seeing that right now with coronavirus. It's like going back to work on Camp Johnson would be to actually see your buddies and shit like that would be a good thing to do.
Right.
I love the idea of having junior Marines that go out there, because usually whenever you have a group, and you know this from being in as long as you have now, you're not a super boot anymore. Having those moments where you have one person who can change the entire look of the outlook of the entire platoon or the entire battalion just by being in a good mood. That video was that for me. When I'm having a bad day, I'll just scroll through and be like, all right, let's do it. Let's embrace the suck. We're going to embrace the suck today.
I'm glad that video does it for you and so many other people. That's the way I try to look at the whole Marine Corps. So if there's a rumor, Lance Corporal's talking, hey, we're going to get out at noon today. And then the CO calls everyone at 11:30, like all excited. He's like, hey, good job. We're going to leave at 1600. Everyone kind of gets down. I look at it, well, hey, we're still leaving a half hour early. All right. Be excited for that.
I might have to reach out to you and get you to do a new video for us whenever for coronavirus that we're still going to be embracing the suck and do what we need to do.
Absolutely. All right.
All right, Greg, we appreciate you taking the time, man. Have a good one.
Thank you very much. You have a great day.
You too. What a good sport Greg was, man. Like to come on and to know that in a lot of situations, you really do get roasted a lot on social media, like he has been roasted and like made fun of. And as soon as we reached out, he was like, yeah, dude, I'm automatically in. I am totally in.
And I just too, I love now that I get DMs where I'll post something where I'm waking up and I'm playing the Groundhog Day song, I Got You, Babe. And I'm like, ugh. And then somebody will message me, aren't we just embracing the suck? Like, and I'm like, oh yeah, this we
is.
Are.
I mean, this is, that really should be like the title of ZBT. For
embrace
the, next couple
the suck.
Embrace we're just the embracing suck, the suck. Yeah. I sir, good morning, gentlemen.
Exactly.
That's what, people keep, you know, people are always like, oh, how you doing? How you doing? I'm like, well, you know, like whatever. Like I can't change anything. I can only affect what goes on in my own personal world. Mm. So there's no sense in getting all like wrapped up and like down in the dumps. Just focus on what you can focus on.
Aren't we just
and make that the most
suck.
Positive speech
and we're embracing just the embrace suck, the suck. Time.
Side yep. note, I did there was this 97-year-old World War II veteran who went viral kind of last night. He was
dancing Chuck.
He was dancing Chuck, 97-year-old. He was a Navy pilot who dropped torpedoes on Japanese submarines during World War II. 97 years old now, and he goes out in his porch and dances to make his neighbors happy now. And I mean, he's great. So I did like this little dance routine in my apartment to like challenge him as like a light little joke or whatever. But then I started reading about this group. It was for the Honor Flight. The Honor Flight's one of those organizations that sends them down. Well, this particular Stars and Stripes Honor Flights, their motto was from a former person who went, a World War II veteran who went on one of the Honor Flights, who had been a POW for a long time. And he said his mantra was, every day is a bonus. Every single day you get is an extra bonus, is a gift, is a treat. And so I've been like kind of telling myself, I'm embracing the suck. Aren't we just embracing the suck? And every day is a bonus, you know? So just, I don't know. I just got hit with a good vibe wave, guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and you know how you can have another bonus, Kate?
What? Oh.
With a bonus boner, because Roman swipes are a clinically proven way to last longer in bed. They're effective, easy to use, and fast acting, but they don't require a prescription, folks. Roman can send them swipes to you discreetly. They're going to just show up at your door. It's going to be in a tiny little bag that's small enough to hide in your wallet whenever you need it. Swipes are great. They're not going to transfer to your partner, so you can last longer without wearing it. Because, I mean, lest we forget, people are still horny. folks are still horny during this coronavirus season. And if you want, you don't have anything to do, you got 24 hours to fill, you might as well be filling up your lady or your fella.
Jesus Christ, Jeff!
What? What? They're super easy to use. Just swipe them on your old member and get going. Go to GetRoman.com/Daryl. You can get your first month of swipes for just $5 when you choose a monthly plan. That's GetRoman.com/Daryl. Fill her up, folks. Here we go. All right, let's move on to round number four. Round number four. I love this kind of story. We're going to move away from coronavirus chat, even though it is just a little bit related to it. The sale of baby chicks have soared across the United States in what appears to be another example of panic buying amid the COVID-19 pandemic. While the weeks leading up to Easter, they are usually busy time for chicken hatcheries, it appears that the birds are becoming increasingly difficult to purchase, according to the New York Times. People are panic buying chickens like they did toilet paper. According to a report, many feed stores are reporting that they are selling out of baby chicks almost immediately as they become in stock, and long lines have been outside Tractor Supply companies on mornings when the chicks are delivered. A manager of one of the farming stores in New York said that they had noticed a significant surge in demand recently. People are willing to take breeds that aren't their first choice just to get a chicken. And one customer recently purchased baby chickens lives in Austin. She's a musician with extra time on her hands because she's not currently doing any concerts, so she might as well be a chicken farmer. Folks, how are we feeling about becoming chicken farmers? Kay, is that something that you want to do in Astoria?
First of all, there is right down my block. And I was walking by the other day, and I was like, oh, my God, it was a huge truck. There's a giant chicken store literally down my block that sells.
That's probably where Joey got his.
And there was people waiting outside the chicken store, like grown-ass chickens, like
full chickens.
Full-ass chickens. Like, whole. Anyways, I don't know why I was so shocked.
Longtown chickens.
But when you come across farm animals in the city, you're like, whoa, what? That's literally all they sell is chickens. And it looks like business is fucking booming right now.
Even here in Texas, if I see a full-blown chicken, I'm kind of taken aback.
Right? It just kind of knocks your dick off a little bit. Wow.
Chaps, was that a Friends reference?
It was.
Yeah, well done there. Well done there.
But also, too, I was thinking, my mom said when, like, in the 50s and 60s and 70s, at Easter time, they used to, like, Macy's would sell, they would dunk the chicks in, like, pastel colors and sell these chicks. And, like, all the parents who bought them for the kids knew these chicks weren't really making it past Easter time when the kids got bored with them. You know, like, it was, like, thousands of
like
chicks.
Like the chicken version of a fair goldfish?
Pretty much. It was, they used to be, like, fair goldfish. Like, they knew they weren't going to make it long. They're just having them for Easter morning kind of thing. But now, I also, final note on this, I have three little... There's a veteran on Twitter that I follow. His name's like Mina Conflict or something like that. And he raises all sorts of farm animals. And he was replying to a story about this where he was saying, everybody's buying these chickens thinking it's like the splitting of the bread. You'll have food and eggs and shit forever once you get a couple chickens. He said, most people, if you don't know what you're doing, it ends up being way more expensive than whatever you'll ever get out of it. Like, it's very time consuming. You have to, like, take care of them. It's kind of hard to keep them alive sometimes. There's animals, there's the cold, there's this, there's that. And people who don't know what they're doing, you just end up, like, losing money on them. So
yeah, spoiler alert, farming's not easy.
Yeah, surprise. Yeah.
You got to go watch this Morgan Spurlock's most recent documentary. He did it all on the chicken industry in this country, and it's really fascinating. The name escapes me, but if you just Google it, it's a good one. And actually, one Easter, my mom got a pet duck. So I think people just did weird shit back then.
It was like baby animals and then they disappeared. That was the whole...
So that's what I said to her. I was like, so like, what happened to the duck? She's like, yeah, I think my dad just took it one day and it never came back.
That's why.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you do with those kind of animals, because right now with people stuck at home, normally I'm not a big bring in different animals that aren't like already domesticated into the home or like at your place. But right now I think almost anything goes. Now I'm not saying go full out Joe Exotic and bring tigers and shit or monkeys. Honestly, that the monkey part of that show was the most crushing, I think, of anything. Even the people dying, when Joe Exotic's talking about I mistreated the monkeys, that whenever I gave my monkeys to the chimpanzees to new people, and they were in separate cages for 10 years, and as soon as they got into a cage together, they started to hug. I was like, man, they were like little fucking prisoners.
It's crazy. Yeah. But you're right. I think right now I've seen so many posts where, like, I got a lot of time on my hands now. I'm at home a lot. Does anybody know where I can get a good dog? Like, right now, people are
I have so many DMs.
Bring
about
on the
dog
ocelot.
Shit.
Bring on the dogs. Bring on the monkeys.
We actually.
An ocelot.
We
get your fucking throat ripped out.
In my house, we signed up to foster puppies.
Yeah.
So we'll stay tuned. We might have a foster puppy here any day now.
The haters said you won't get chickens, cons.
Yeah, get chickens.
Probably
cons.
Not.
Get a little baby goat.
No, you know what I would get? If I could guarantee that it was domesticated and wouldn't rip my face off and kill me, I think having a bear would be cool.
Oh, baby
for
bear.
Sure.
You get a baby bear.
One to
I
drive
think a
your
koala
car.
Bear, if you weren't concerned with the chlamydia aspect, I think that would be fine. I also, if I could have any species in my house, I would probably get their silence, though, because they're very loud. I would love to have vines on my roof because I have various levels of, like, my ceiling goes to various levels. Put vines all over and have a golden and a black gibbon in my house where they're just brachiating all across and just going,
that'd be sick.
That's the gibbon noise.
I would like a descented skunk. I heard they make great pets.
You can get one of those in New York. Me and Large held one in New Jersey.
Yeah, they're awesome. And I also feel like you could do so many good goof pranks with them, you know?
What kind of floor do you have?
Hardwood.
Oh, not a good one. They'll dig through that. You gotta have almost like concrete and shit because they're burrowers.
Oh, fuck. All right. Yeah. Well.
All right. Let's move on to round number five. We're going to do a little bit of career day. Here's the chaplain telling us about life as a chaplain.
Amen.
Now on Zero Block 30's Career Week, we have Mike Curtis. Mike is a veteran. He lives in San Antonio just like I do, and he's enjoying the nice weather while being quarantined. Mike, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So we're having people on and talk about what they did or what they do, and what is that for you?
So I was a chaplain both in the Army and in the Air Force. I managed to quit the Army and switch over to the Air Force at one point.
Yeah, so how does that go? For people that don't know, the chaplain process is a little bit different because the chaplain, you have to go not only to get your bachelor's, but you usually have a master's, maybe a PhD or THD in theology or something like that. And then you also have to be ordained by whatever faith background that you have. Was that decision to go through all that work and then jump into a uniform, was that something that you wrestled with or was that your intention all along?
So that was kind of my intention, but I had an ROTC scholarship and I didn't realize that I had to pay for college somehow, just like half the other people in the military. And so I thought, hey, I've got an ROTC scholarship. It's not possibly a chaplain right away. So I'll be an armor officer or something, drive big tanks around. But a friend of mine managed to pull it off the year before me. So I started to do that also. And I ended up as 27 years old, is about the youngest you can get going through all that stuff to be a chaplain. So I ended up in the 101st when I was a young boot chaplain.
Yeah, and I think that is underrated tough because you're 27 years old as you come in as a captain, right? Usually?
Yes.
So you start as a captain, you start as an O3, which is different from a lot of other jobs. The only other ones that do that is like doctors and stuff like that. So whenever you came in, you're going into a unit at the 101st Airborne that is filled with salt dogs, filled with people who have been to combat, multiple combat tours. You're 27 years old and charged with giving them not only religious advice, but like almost some mentorship too, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, talk about combat experience. My sergeant major, this is 1999. My sergeant major was a Vietnam veteran.
Wow.
And, I took mentorship from him. He was amazing.
So your day-to-day job as the chaplain, because it's obviously you're not performing church every single day. What do you do? What is the chaplain's responsibility on a day-to-day basis?
So day-to-day, 90% of my work all the way through my career was counseling. I did a lot of counseling. I was really focused on that, just meeting with young soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines, and talking with them, helping them live their best life, helping them deal with all the shit that goes on in the military, mm-hmm. and learning a lot. Nothing surprises me anymore.
So you're dealing with a lot of guys and ladies who get in trouble with, like, say, alcohol related incidents, see if there's what the root there is, or if they're having trouble with their marriage, or if they're constantly late to PT. Are you dealing with all those, like, the troubled bodies too?
Those are the easy ones.
Yeah. So what would some of the hard ones be? What do you get involved in there?
You know, I had a lieutenant walk in my office one day and say, "Hey, sir, this weekend was pretty bad." I was like, "What's going on?" And young woman, she said, "Four guys at once is way too many." And that's not the way you want to start a conversation.
Yeah,
necessarily. No. And there's not a lot of times there's not a lot of get to know you involved in what we do. There were a number of folks who die. We have to take care of them right away. When I was in Korea, we had one of our best NCOs had a bleed out in his stomach. No idea. That was very traumatic for all of us to deal with. Plus the combat deaths, obviously, along the way.
Right. And dealing with families, were you responsible to, like, if you have a Gold Star family offering, like, immediate counseling? I'm sure that if the battalion commander or whoever notifies a Gold Star family that their family member was lost, they make someone like you available pretty quickly?
We go along on all the notifications. So notification team consists of commander, chaplain, who the commander does the notification, chaplain's there for spiritual moral support, and then we usually, in the Air Force, we had a medic available in the car just in case somebody would pass out or something would happen, and did far too many of those also.
And how was that to prepare for that? How do you prepare yourself mentally as a chaplain to go give somebody the worst news of their life, essentially?
So we have to be, we work to be just as resilient and just as strong as we tell other people to be. So some of my best friends are ones who I would talk to, still talk to the whole about what's going on in life, what we're dealing with. And, you know, we have to go through all of that. Those, if we don't do the same steps we tell other people to do, then we're not ready to go. We have to be ready to go every day. Some of the stuff is bad. Some of the stuff, you know, we're with people at the worst in their life. We're with people at the best in their life. And sometimes we have a ton of fun doing it. And sometimes it just sucks. And there's not a lot of middle ground.
Oh, I bet. And then you also have to deal with the aspect, and I don't think a lot of people know this, but when you're a chaplain, you're also responsible for performing, like say you're deployed, where you might be required to do something outside of your normal faith tradition, right? Like you have to be, you're everybody's chaplain. You're not just the chaplain of Presbyterians or Mormons or whatever your faith tradition is.
Exactly. So we have to ensure the free exercise of religion for everybody. So if I can't do it for you, then either I find somebody who can, or I'm not Father Mulcahy. I can't do everything, yeah. But I can do a lot, and we'll come as close as we can to helping people out and understanding where they come from, talking to them about what they've done and where they are in life, and try and approach it from their perspective as much as possible.
And what was your faith tradition background?
Presbyterian.
So, oh man, I nailed it right off the bat. So,
exactly. I was like, how do you do that?
Incredible. PCA or PUSA?
PCA.
Okay, so more conservative guy. So, yep. So whenever you have this faith tradition, I'm sure that because you come from a Presbyterian background, which is filled up with like liturgy and things like that, a lot more.
Kind of.
Okay, so.
I came from a military chapel background.
Oh, okay. So, whenever you're doing that type of thing, I imagine that you have to study very intently, like other religions. So you are prepared, like say if there's somebody who's Muslim or somebody who's Jewish or somebody who's Wiccan, knowing at least a little bit about all the religions so you could do it to the best of your ability, right?
We pretty much have to know a lot about all of them. So yeah, exactly.
What does the test look like? Because like every time you graduate from an MOS school or your officer candidate school, you have a certain test that you have to perform. Like foreign peace, for example, you have to know basic military law, basic military formation when you're traveling with Humvees and things like that. What does the chaplain school look like, or is there one?
So there is a chaplain school. We did the Army, the chaplain officer basic course back in the day. And then I had to go to the Air Force, we called it the re-education course, their chaplain basic school. Mm-hmm. And they're really short, just a few weeks long, because they trust that our faith groups do all of the theological and religious education for us. So we're supposed to have learned that beforehand. We have some short times on that, but we learn we learn a lot of administrative crap that we have to deal with, how to do chapel budgets and non-appropriated funds and how to deal with commanders, how to write memos, things that are general military tasks that we need to do. They try to teach us marching. It's hilarious. I did ROTC, so I kind of knew about marching already.
Yeah.
But just imagine a group of 40 chaplains trying to march. That's kind of one of the funniest things
I've seen in my life. I would probably have a fucking heart attack, honestly.
All of us, when I went through the Army school, all of us who knew how to march, we had heart attacks along the way. And we, there were chaplain assistants trying to teach us, which is a whole nother ball of wax.
But you know, that was my initial interest of joining, because I was a seminarian myself. I went to Southeastern Seminary in North Carolina, and I wanted to be, I wanted still to enlist, but I wanted to be the chaplain's aide or the religious, I forget what it's called.
RP.
Yeah, I wanted to be the RP, and it wasn't open, so I decided to join the Marine Corps instead.
Yeah. Some of my best friends.
Things went south from there.
So, yeah, the school, the test is not very hard. You know, I'm a smart ass. So, you know, like in the Army school, we were, one of our requirements was to show that we knew how to do a military funeral. There's a lot of, specifics involved in that outside of the religious funeral part. So our group decided that our little, in our exercise, our guy who died had just become, a Quaker. Okay. And, you know, he wouldn't be in the military except he had become a Quaker about a week beforehand and he hadn't got a chance to get out yet, do his conscience objection, right, which is another thing to do. And
hard to be in the Army when you're a pacifist.
Exactly. So he so we conducted his ceremony in the Quaker tradition and we all just sat there silently and then got up and left. And our instructor was like, I can't believe you guys did that, but I can't mark you off on that at all.
I mean, that's exactly what you got to do. You can't do anything forward or against it. You're just completely let it happen. Being a complete pacifist is an attitude that I will never understand. Much respect to the people that can do it. That, and much respect for you, chaps, another chaps on the show, for joining us today on Zero Block 30. Mike, thanks a lot.
Oh, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Just talking to people and seeing what their jobs was so fun. We have a bunch more of those. I think we have 9 more. People are constantly reaching out. And while I'm on coronavirus season and we're just quarantined, fuck it. Just reach out. If you want your job on here, we'll just keep adding you to the list. I think that's a good thing to do, highlight different shit. Because chaplain isn't something that people normally think about, like military-wise, where you think about what your job would actually be on day-to-day. Sure, you have your church services on Sundays or Wednesdays or whenever you do it, but you also have obligations throughout the week, and I think talking about those are kind of interesting. Let's move on to round number 6. This one's going to be a quick round because ISIS got one of their main people that was in charge of ISIS in Afghanistan. He was captured along with 19 other militants on Sunday, according to Times Magazine and the New York Times. He goes by the name of Aslam Furqari? Fuki?
More like, sure. Aslam, fuck him.
Yeah, he was detained by forces in the National Directorate of Security, the country's main intelligence agency said in a statement. It's unclear where the arrest took place, but this dude, obviously, if he's in charge of ISIS in Afghanistan, he is a piece of shit. And he looks legitimately like a troll. Like, whenever I saw him, we don't normally like to appearance shame, but this fella is ugly as fuck. Would you agree, Kate?
You know what it is? One, he kind of looks like Harvey Weinstein a little bit.
Oh, I could see that.
Yeah, he kind of looks like Harvey. And two, it's like you took a normal head, and then if you could pull the top of my head and pull it up like 4 more inches, mm-hmm. His head is like...
It's like shaped like a triangle, where it's pointier at the top, and then it gets a real wide base. It's he's like got a like a right head. Triangle head. Maybe yeah, more like an isosceles.
He kind of resembles Dan Aykroyd in Coneheads.
Yeah, he looks very ugly, got terrible hair, terrible beard. Yeah. I hate that guy, so we just wanted to mention him real quick.
And by the way, horrible lips. He does not have kissable lips. He's got just little flatliners. Snooze fest.
Big old fat nose, too.
Yeah, horrible.
Yeah, he looks like shit. We're glad that he's arrested. Hopefully he gets hanged or something like that. I don't know if we're supposed to say that on the podcast, but I would be cool with that. All right, let's move on to round number 7. Just a little hang goofing.
Wait, I have one more question.
Okay.
The background of this photo, I know this is horrible. Maybe we can cut this, but I'm just curious. See the tiny little photo of the man in black and white on that guy's flak jacket? Who is that?
That is going to be Freddie Mercury.
No, that's not Freddie Mercury. Yeah.
A lot of those security forces folks in Afghanistan, huge Queen fans.
Yeah.
Okay.
They love Fat Bottom Girls. Can't get enough of it.
All right.
They listen to Fat Bottom Girls, swipe it on with Roman Swipe. What they got for the.
I mean, they make the rocking world go round. Okay. So I get it.
Very well.
There you go. All right, let's move on to round number 7. First of all, are you guys big Marvels fans? Are you big movie fans in general with that kind of stuff, Marvel? I know that you're a huge movie guy, obviously, Cons, but do you get into Marvel at all?
No, because growing up, I never read comic books.
Me
either. So I think I didn't have a propensity towards these types of movies. Same. As much as I love action movies, the storylines that these are based on, I can't really get behind.
Yeah, I knew how to throw a baseball and stuff, so I never got into it.
Okay, cool. So we're watching it here at my house.
Pardon me.
And it's a little bit different because I grew up the same way, like the Cons did, where I didn't really care about superheroes. I didn't care about any of that stuff. I did like wrestling a lot. I was a big wrestling guy, and I thought that was real as shit, like Ric Flair, Stinger, Splash.
There is one cartoon that I was big on, and I will watch the shit out of those movies, was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Captain Planet.
Also Captain Planet.
Yep. Captain Planet was fire. I like that. Yeah. Earth, Wind, Fire, Water, Heart. Shout out to Heart. So whenever I was watching Captain Planet last night, I thought about Captain America. I wasn't watching Captain
Did
Planet.
Did you guys defeat pollution? Did you win?
We did. It was very nice. We defeated it.
Pollution down.
We're doing all kinds
zero.
Of recycling. It's great. So Captain America, the guy, I had no idea what the premise of the movie was. I thought it was just Chris Evans being sexy as fuck like he always is, because he's got a great body. He looks awesome. Like, and I thought that this was just going to be the start of it. I had no idea that the premise was that it's just a little fella. And I thought there are so many, because have you guys seen the movie?
I've seen, you know, clips, and I know exactly what you're talking about in terms of he's the little tiny guy, and then they put him in the chamber, and he comes out a really big guy.
Yeah. That's, Kate, have you seen it?
I think you're thinking of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Nope, not thinking of that. So they put this little weenie-looking dude. He's like 5'6". He's been told he's trying to enlist to go to World War II. He's tried five times, and they said, no, you have asthma, you have all these different health issues, you have flat feet. But he's got a strong brain, doesn't mind getting his ass whooped, and he figures things out pretty fast. So he's still trying to serve his country. Well, one of these doctors figures things out where they put him in this chamber. They add all this serum to his muscles, and they put him in this chamber and almost add like nuclear power to him. And then he comes out, the 5'7" guy that's super small, comes out looking like Chris Evans with unbelievable pecs and abs and shit like that. Just an absolute specimen. He's sprinting down the street so fast that he can run and catch like a taxi. He jumps into the water and catches a submarine, goes up to the submarine, smashes it, pulls the guy out, throws him out of the water where he actually leaves the water, throws him like 8 feet out, and then he hops up, and that's part where we got the part that McCartney got real scared, so we had to turn it off. Very nervous. But I was thinking, there's so many people that I knew in the Marine Corps that if I was able to get that treatment, that they would just be monsters, man. Like, imagine if we could take somebody from Barstool. You take Spider and Spider's personality, Spider's drive and initiative, and you throw him into the Captain America chamber, he might be the biggest superstar on the face of the earth.
I gotta tell you.
It's certainly plausible.
One of the best Marines I ever served with and served under was a sergeant with 2-9, Helen Helmet, I believe they are. And he was maybe 5'6", maybe. And he must have weighed like 100 pounds. Littlest infantry fella you ever seen in your life. And his guys would have followed him fucking anywhere. He was like,
but imagine putting him in the chamber, Kate.
he didn't need it, man. He was great.
No. See, we can't say that. I think that we're not size shaming. My dad's 5'7". Like, my tallest grandfather is 5'3". Somehow I looked out and 6 foot. Yeah. I don't know how it happened. Shout out to the milkman. But whenever I still think if you're 5'6" and you get that opportunity to hop into the old chamber coming out looking like Chris Evans, man, you got to do it. You gotta do it.
You have to.
Chris Evans legit might be the hottest dude in the world.
He's up there. He's up there for sure.
I would let coronavirus off his taint.
Okay.
All right, let's move on to save rounds, alibis. We'll start with you, Cons. What do you got?
With consent.
Two really quickly. Yeah, of course. Speaking of Chris Evans, there's a Chris Evans movie that is not very well known that I just really like. And if you look it up, I don't think it has good scores, but I really like it. It's called Before We Go. It's with Alice Eve, and it's about this girl who gets trapped in New York City for an evening, and he kind of like helps her. It's a good story. Good story. Good movie. Whatever. I like it. Go check that out, Before We Go. And then secondly, Kate, I saw that you are starting The Sopranos.
I just started it.
That is awesome.
I'm not going to lie. For a lady who's in the Marines and such, I don't love all the violence in it. I've never seen it either.
Oh,
I'm trying to go to sleep at night and they're like crushing people's skulls on the sidewalk. I'm like, oh my God. So
yeah,
I didn't.
It's pretty violent.
I don't know why I didn't see that coming. It's very stressful. That's all I can say, mm-hmm. but very fucking stressful.
But it is certainly one of the better television shows.
Yeah, all ever, HBO. So. If you're listening, you didn't know, like there's like 100 free HBO shows right now just for anyone. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm watching The Sopranos.
Yeah, well, I'm excited for you. And if you ever want to talk about Sopranos, I'm ready.
Thank you.
Is that it, Cons?
That's all I got.
Whoa, right, no caveats? Old caveat, Cons, hit ass. I would just like to say one more thing about my weekend.
Okay.
I texted you guys. I was shocked. I'm walking through my neighborhood yesterday. Astoria, Queens, New York City. Hear a squawking sound. I hear a squawking sound. I have a mask on. I'm not touching anything, but I'm out for a walk. I look up. Two fucking parrots. Like two huge lime green bright ass birds just flying down the street. They land in a tree. Everybody on the street's like, whoa, holy shit, oh my God. And then they take off into the day.
I mean, parrots in the wild are just unbelievably incredible. I share your excitement there because I've said before that one of my favorite memories from Disney World was whenever we went to Animal Kingdom and we were walking and we got to the middle part of it. And whenever we came by, there was like a squad of, I think it was macaws that came through all at the same time, the bright red birds that are in Aladdin. And they all flew into one little room all together. And I was like, wow, what a special moment that was that it happened in the wild. And they're like, no, it happens like every 20 minutes.
See, you know, but you know what's a good topic for Friday? And I'll put it out there on the Zero Block 30 Twitter. What is that? Because a lot of military people do training all around the world. You're in the jungles. You're in the Arctic. You're all over the place. Mm. What's the strangest animal encounter you have ever had in uniform? Or it's that fucking weird PFC who has 10 snakes in his room, or somebody in base housing who has something they shouldn't have. Weirdest animal encounter you've ever had in uniform. I'll put that out on the Twitter and
just
Instagram.
Just off the top of the cuff, if you had to pick one animal that you would love to see in the wild, what would it be?
Ooh. Wow. I would love to swim with sharks like great whites.
Mm.
I think that'd be just crazy.
I would love to put my fingers right in the top of a blowhole of a whale and just go cruising through the sea.
Mine's a narwhal.
For sure. That's a good one.
Go to the Arctic and just hanging out with Buddy and his friends. Just chilling. It would be great. I would love that. I really don't have any save rounds either. Thanks to listening, everybody. We'll be back on Friday with another edition. Keep those little birdies coming. If you have some scuttlebutt that's going on in your unit, make sure to send it to us because we like to talk about it because we are obviously not in anymore. So we like to hear the stories
coming
from you guys.
We'll keep you anonymous.
Other than that, take it easy. Stay safe. We're going to have a mental health expert on the show on Friday. It'll also include Dan Crenshaw, the congressman from Texas. He will be on the show on Friday as well, and we'll keep on with Career Day. Big loaded show coming for you on Friday. I also am going to be interviewing soon this week a dude that lives in the Yukon. Now, I know if you've listened to the show or if you've listened to the Chaps and Kate show, you know that I love Alaska. This guy is a Sikh. He is a practicing Sikh, and he lives in the Yukon on a frozen lake by himself. And he will go online and he will teach people how to do traditional Sikh-style dances. He works a lot with the Canadian military, and he's going to tell us some secrets of how he keeps himself occupied and in quarantine, essentially by living in the Yukon. I can't wait to talk to that guy. He is the light in a dark world right now. He's always beaming and has a great attitude. Sikhs are awesome. If you've never talk to a whole lot of Sikhs, they're incredible people. They're pacifists. They are always positive, and they are just great, great folks. We're going to have him on the show. I'm also going to be interviewing a guy who was a prisoner of war for nearly six years in Vietnam. That interview is going to be great as well. Lots of stuff coming from ZBT. Until next time, sound the retreat.